We're getting close to the end of this week of celebration, in which the Holy Spirit would like to bring us more deeply into an understanding of the resurrection and a deeper joy in the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. We love Jesus. To think of him being raised, you know, to gaze on him raised, you know, conquering all the torture, the death, the glorious, and the source of life, eternal life, forever life. Wherever we are in heaven, we'll always know and see him and be living by his life. So the texts we have now are beginning to give us a glimpse of this whole new era. We're not too clear exactly. See, Jesus stayed around in some way for 40 days. And then at the ascension, he left. And he's not present in the same way, though he's present. Huh? He's present in the Eucharist every day. But he's present in his church, who preaches the gospel. We see a tiny example of that now, with all this HHS mandate stuff. The church saying, no, we can't do that. That's against our conscience. Even if it costs us all the health care stuff we've got, but we can't do that. The church. Now, who fortifies the church so that the church is able to do that? The living Christ, who dwells at the very core of the church and manifests himself so that people have a chance to have a conversion and believe in him, and therefore have eternal life, which they won't have if they continue to persecute him in his church and hate him and turn people away from him. So it's very serious. Now we have in this book of Acts, for quite a few days now, we've been listening to the after effects of raising that lame man at the beautiful gate in the temple, on the way into the temple, in the temple esplanade. The wisdom of our Lord. Huh? Everybody saw that fellow. Everybody knew he was lame, huh? Couldn't walk. Everybody going in and out of the temple. I used to see that on Friday, the Muslim day, at the Damascus Gate. All these men would be, as you know, the Orientals can be, they're all sort of hunched down, you know, with their back against the wall, blind, holding out their hands for alms. And the Muslims give alms. And I used to pray for them as I walked by. I say, Lord, wouldn't it be marvelous if you were to heal one of them right now? Everybody knows they're blind. Everybody sees them every Friday. And they'd see something. They'd know who you are. I prayed as I went by them. It never happened, but not the right time. But it did happen to this lame man. Now just think. Here's a guy. He's a construction worker. He's a fisherman, but we don't have a lot of fishermen going out into little lakes. And, you know, they go out into the ocean and bring it back by the ton. But so he's a construction worker kind of guy. Nice guy, strong build. Even his skeleton shows that. He's standing there, and this man is begging, as he did every day. And this construction worker says to him, look, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And he jumped up, ran, jumping, singing, skipping into the temple. Everybody saw him. Whatever happened to that guy? And walking behind is You know, John, the more reserved, the intellectual, the mystic, and Peter, the construction worker. That guy there, you talk to him and boom. Well, that's going to create quite a stir, isn't it? And this, it's the stir that occupies Luke in going over this. Because this is the history of the church. When we're real, we heal people. When we're real, we preach the gospel and lives are turned. So then, the part we have today, they're still preaching out there. They're taking advantage of this day by day now. Everybody, you know, the best advertisement is a satisfied customer. They have one right there. A guy was healed in the name of Jesus. So they're explaining who Jesus is to people. So the cops come and arrest them. For what? Healing a man? I mean, this is so preposterous. But that's the blindness of people who are opposed to the Lord. Just so dumb. It's a crime to heal people. How do you know that? So, they gather the whole crowd, all the big shots, gathered together. And by what power, by what name have you done this? And then, just as Jesus promised, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, he said, don't worry what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Don't worry about it. So he didn't worry about it. So then he stands there. All the leader intellectuals and religious leaders, it would be like, having the bishop's conference and then inviting in some construction worker and say, why did you do that? You know? But he's not cowed, right? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them. Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, you see his wisdom? A good deed done, we don't see healing a cripple, that's too dramatic. A good deed done to a cripple. You see the Holy Spirit at work? You see? Namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene from that hick town way up at the other end of the country. So here's a construction worker talking about this fellow from Nazareth, you see? Whom you crucified. He's not mincing his words, huh? Whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. Clear, isn't it? Clear. You see how he's got all that it takes to be proclaiming to the intellectual and religious leaders of the country how this guy got healed. Huh? He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. That's from Psalm 118, and it's a theme, huh, of the resurrection time. There is no salvation of any kind. Real salvation, it's the same word, soteria. It's not just a temporary healing, so he can walk for the next few years before he dies. No. It's a total healing, soteria. It's eternal. You see? There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. And the advantage they have, more in Greek, but it's also a bit in Aramaic, which he was probably speaking. This word save, it's sozin, which means to make and keep inviolate, healthy. You can save the economy. You can save, you know. But real salvation is the one that lasts forever. Which means what? Having the life of God in you. And so he's using this word here, you see. By what means he was saved. See, he was more than just the whole potential of this word. Because remember, when he got healed, he didn't say, yeah, thanks a lot, you guys, that's really great. No. He began to skip and dance and praise God. And so, and there is no other name, no other reality, no other person, no other Shem, no other name but Jesus. There isn't any other name. All the Muslims one day will recognize, if they've been trying to be faithful, when they meet him, you're the one. All the Jews, all the pagans, and even some of his enemies who get a chance at the last minute and repent, they will see him. Yes, in glory, but it's a glory that is radiation of agape. That's why he heals. So the Lord in his wisdom, you see, decided to heal that guy at the gate where everybody would know him, so that it would be well known. This is how much I love you. This is what I have in store for you. Then he inspired Peter, the construction worker, to take on the intellectual elite of the whole country and preach, and nobody could stop him. Why? Because the healed guy is standing right there. That's what the Lord wants to do for us, my friends. As the darkness gets darker, the light will get lighter.